Let's turn our Bibles tonight to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. And I've preached in this passage before. I've heard many, many people preach in it, from it. But there's some lessons here about this man that we can call to mind about this man, Eutychus, that was in church. And he was sitting in the right place. He had taken a, he was in the right place. In the right place, but he apparently was leaning the wrong way. There's a lot of people like that today. There's a lot of people like that in our country.
Oh yeah.
They're in the right place in terms of being the greatest nation on the face of the earth, and in the halls of government, that's the greatest government that's ever been framed. It's the people that's the problem. Because too many of them are leaning the wrong way. But that can also be said about churches.
Yes, sir.
And I think more and more, it becomes more and more obvious that people are in good Baptist churches, but they're leaning the wrong way. Some of them have just started leaning. Some of them have leaned past the point of straightening up. And that is not good. And I'm going to preach just as fast as I can, because I want to give, which I don't have to give Brother Bryant time. He'll take all the time he needs. Amen. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll read in Acts 20, beginning in verse 6. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you to be in your house, and Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for its services week in, week out, for its ministry through the radio, missions, and everything else, for its ministry of encouragement to other churches through conferences like this. And we thank you tonight for the privilege of being here. We pray that you'd bless every individual and every family, that you'll open up every ear and every heart to your word. And Lord, we just pray that there would be no quenching of your spirit, but you would let us experience that liberty that we know there is where your spirit is. And we pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in Acts chapter 20 and verse 6, the Bible says, Luke, the writer of the book of Acts, inspired of the Holy Spirit, he's the penman. The Bible says, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas, in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft, and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. Please be seated. Now, there's three main things that stand out in this passage of Scripture to me as I was reading it and pondering it and meditating on it and having things suggested to me. Some of them may have been the case actually with Eutychus. And if not, those things, I think, suggest other things to us that can be real realities about this young man, Eutychus, on this Sunday night service. Seems like the early church had its meetings on a regular basis. The reason it seems that way is because that's what the Bible teaches. They met on Sunday, and probably their main service was Sunday night, because they had so many slaves and working people, common people, that made up the majority of the church in those days. And so on Sunday night they could get together. And here in Troas, Paul has met up with these people. Now here's the three things I want you to follow me on. is notice in the first place the place that was attended by Eutychus. The place attended by him. And number two, I want you to notice the position that was assumed by Eutychus. He took that position. Nobody ushered him into it. And number three, the problem in this text that is associated with Eutychus, the young man in a church service sitting in a windowsill who leaned the wrong way and fell out of the window and met his death, which prompted a wonderful miracle performed by the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
Now, notice in the first place the place where Eutychus attended. And I want to say this, where he was a real good place. You read this and so many other occasions like this in the Bible, and here's the people of God gathered together. And that is the first thing that comes to mind that makes this a good place. You know what makes it a good place where Eutychus was? Because the people of God were gathered there. Because of who was gathered there. It was a wonderful place for him to be. He could have been down at the mall. He could have been at the ball game. He could have been 100 of different places. And none of those places would have been as good as the place where he was because, number one, of the people who were assembled there. Here he is on the first day of the week. The Bible says when the disciples came together to break bread and then thank God for these people who were gathered together.
Amen.
Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 didn't have to be preached on as much then as it would today. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Forsake not. And that word forsake is the exact same word that Jesus used on the cross in one of his seven sayings from the cross when he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me?
Right.
It's a terrible word. It's an awful word.
Right.
It is a word filled with pathos and loneliness and deep despair to be forsaken. The insinuation is of people who have left them in the lurch, people who were counted on, and in fact, it turns out they can't be counted on, people who ought to have been depended on. But the most dependable thing about some people is that you can't depend on them for anything. It's an awful thing to forsake the assembling of God's people on the Lord's Day, especially here on the Lord's Day. It's a time of wonderful time to get together, great place to get together with God's people. Amen. It's better than getting together with God's people at a picnic, as good as that is. And a lot of other things. But there is nothing like being in the house of God.
Amen.
And here's the second thing that made this a real good place for him to be. It was a good place to be because of what was going on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Amen. They weren't having a carnival. They weren't having a comedy show. What was going on where the disciples were gathered together that made it such a good place? Well, here's what was going on. The Bible says Paul preached unto them in verse 7. I make no apology or suggestion of an apology about that. It is the preaching of the Word of God that makes everything else what it ought to be. When God's people get together, there needs to be preaching. And so here it speaks about him preaching, and he continued his speech, the Bible says, up until midnight. And you just get the picture of wonderful fellowship taking place. Great worship is taking place. And here is the ministry of the Word by a God-called preacher of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to take a little parenthesis here, a little sidestep, and I don't think it's a personal peeve, but it is an aggravation. And it's aggravating to me because I think it runs counter to the Word of God, And I think it has a subtle effect of undermining something very important. Now, you may never have heard of this. This may not have reached here or not. I never heard of such a thing. I was talking to a pastor the last week about it. I said, I never heard of such a thing until maybe 5 years ago. Here's what I'm talking about. This idea of a pastor maybe being gone or not being gone, and he has somebody come up and fill the pulpit. And they're not a preacher. They've never made any claim of being a preacher. But they'll say, and they may be some of the best men in the church, but they're not preachers. They're not God-called preachers. I never heard the like of this before in my life until up about 5-6 years ago. And they will announce it and say, Brother Bill is going to come and preach Wednesday night while I'm gone. And it's gotten where this has gotten more and more trendy, and it's going on and on and on. People say, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? Well, if you were looking for a scripture to back that up, I think the only place you could find anything like that would be there in the book of Acts where it says, after the persecution of Stephen, they were scattered abroad and they went everywhere preaching the word. But there's nothing there that says that everybody was preaching the word. They might have been proclaiming the word. Maybe everybody was doing it. I like to look at it that way. But there's also nothing that rules out the very, very possible thing that it's referring there specifically to real preachers in the congregation. Again, people will say, well, you're nitpicking. It's not nitpicking. It is a subtlety, a device, a wile of the devil to muddy the waters, to make things indistinct so that people, I'll give you an example. Somebody was going home with they were driving home. The man himself told me about this. And his wife said, has God called you to preach? The pastor had announced that he was going to be preaching. And that had happened several times. Finally, the wife said, has God called you to preach? He said, why, no, God's never called me to preach. And she brought that up. Well, he's always saying you're going to be preaching. Here's what that does, beloved. Now, it's okay to say so-and-so is going to bring a lesson.
Right. Yep.
They're going to present a message or whatever.
Right.
But stop referring to them as preaching.
Right.
Because before long, people are going to begin to think, especially the younger, are going to think, well, so-and-so's a preacher. The pastor's a preacher. Brother Bill's a preacher.
Right.
And so there's no such thing as a God-called preacher. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God still specifically, definitely calls men into the ministry.
Amen.
And that truth needs to be kept very plain and clear. I can remember years ago after I started preaching, hearing people doubting, questioning a real God-called ministry. They would talk about it as the vocation they were going to enter, and so on and so forth. No, God calls people to the ministry. And people are not to thrust themselves into it or allow themselves to be thrust into it. And so there's another. The devil works, listen, beloved, the devil works through words. When you read Genesis chapter 3, you learn so much about the devil's wiles and devices, and he uses words.
Yep.
He misrepresents words. Words convey thoughts.
And what you
hear is going to affect your thoughts.
Right.
And what you say is going to affect your thoughts.
That's right.
Amen. So I just wanted to get that said. Amen. But this is preaching here. This is a preacher preaching the word of God, and it was a good place for Eutychus to be. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. But preaching has fallen on hard times, even in some independent fundamental Baptist church. It's kind of like a necessary evil. And lots of places, listen, beloved, lots of places, that preaching is just something that is subordinate. People go to church for entertainment. Amen. They go to church for all kinds of reasons. But when God's people go to church, uppermost in their mind ought to be, I'm going to be hearing the word of God. God has a message for me.
Amen.
Amen. So Eutychus was, he was sure in the right place. He was in a good place among the people of God. Make your best friends the people of God.
Amen.
Make your associates the people of God.
Amen.
Amen. And he's hearing this preaching. So he's in a good place, but the Bible says in verse 9, and there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus. Now, look at the position that he assumed. Did you know that people assume positions? There are people, probably everybody in this room has assumed a position on this, that, or many other things. You assume a position politically. You assume a position where your home is concerned. You assume a position at work. You assume different positions. You know, a lot of people, they assume a position to, that's just not a good position to be in. But they assume that position. They get in the wrong place. And the thing is, Eutychus, be careful about the positions you get yourself in. You know who got Eutychus in the position he's in here in this window? Himself. He got himself in that position. Did you know that there is no trouble like homemade trouble?
That's right.
At least I found that out.
That's right.
There is no trouble like trouble you bring on yourself. And so Eutychus assumed this position in this window. In other words, he chose to sit where he was. Amen. He put himself in this window, and it was nobody's fault but his own that he was where he was. Now, I said all that to say this: if you're in a risky place tonight, you realize you're in a rather questionable place, whatever that place may be. It's nobody's fault but your own. You say, well, I'm here because so-and-so said that or so-and-so did that, and I just got disgusted with everything. I just decided to back off and take the position that I've taken. And you can't blame anybody else. If you're in a bad position, you've assumed it yourself. Amen. Nobody held a gun to your head. Let me say two things about Eutychus and taking this position, this window. You know, people take political positions. I'm not going to start on that. But I'll tell you this, selflessness and service to others had nothing to do with the position that he assumed. You know, some Christians will take a position of carnality. They'll take a position of lukewarmness, please everybody, and They'll take a worldly position in their life, and all of a sudden they're smarter than everybody in the last 2,000 years about what constitutes holiness and what constitutes worldliness. They're so smart. They've got it figured out. Talk about words that you can take words that are so plain, a 5-year-old will understand those words in the Bible and what they mean. They can reinterpret that in a flash because they're so smart. Do you know the world is full of smart people? The smart people, they think they're the smart people in this country. In Hollywood and in Washington, D.C., are the craziest, dumbest people that ever inhabited this planet.
Yes, sir.
But they're considered to be the smart people. And look at them. Look at them. So selfishness and service didn't... He wasn't thinking about anybody else when he took this position. See, a lot of fathers have done that and really caused trouble in their own homes.
Yep. Right.
Mothers have taken, wives, women have taken positions on something.
Yep.
May have to do with entertainment, dress, any number of things. Fill in the blanks. And it has a terrible effect on others, but they're not thinking about that. They see some place where they'd like to be or try it out, and that's where they go.
Yes.
Right. So he's in this position. And the idea of selflessness and service had nothing to do with where he was. Now, I just got to thinking about this. There where they were, in Troas, the Mediterranean country, probably pretty hot and stuffy in a building like that. They didn't have air conditioners, of course, window fans, and didn't even have probably any of these funeral fans. So here they are, and this fellow sets himself down, perches in a window. So he's not thinking about anybody but himself. And his position, I was just thinking about this the other day. His position, Brother Bell, was obstructing the breeze. You say, what breeze are you talking about? I'm talking about a breeze like the one they had in Acts chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
In Acts chapter 2 says they were all together in one place. And the Spirit of God, like a mighty wind, came upon them. Do you know that is what we need in our congregations and our assemblies tonight more than anything else in the world, in the universe, is for the Holy Spirit of God, like a mighty wind, to sweep into and over God's people when they're assembled together. Amen. But here's Eutychus, and even though it's a hot and a stuffy place and people desperately needed the breeze, whatever breeze they could get, they needed it. But he's sitting up there in the window and keeping the breeze from falling on anybody else that was in that congregation. That's what worldliness does. You take a position of worldliness, you obstruct the breeze for everybody else in the church. Amen. You take a position of disgruntledness and being argumentative and all of that kind of thing and self-willed and stubborn and you're in the right place, but you've assumed a wrong position and you are obstructing the breeze of the Holy Spirit of God on everybody else in the congregation. Little children who need to see what happens when God gets into a service like that. Amen. But people don't think about that when they get their dander up. When they get their back up. When they decide they're going to be a little worldly. I think I can do this anyway. And who are they to tell me what to do? And blah, blah, blah. How selfish. It's a sin against the Holy Spirit of God and against His people. His holy assembly. Amen. Now, I have no idea how loud I sound, beloved. You have to forgive me. I don't. Anyway, some people's spirit in the house of God make them quenchers of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a negative way where others are concerned. Oh, some of you know this. You've experienced this. You've been in a service where you can cut the tension with a knife. There's nothing wrong with the sermon. Hey, there wasn't anything wrong with Paul's sermon that made happen what happened. It's not that his sermon was too long. You know, people like to read that and get real cute and say, there's a long-winded preacher. No, the problem was a short-thinking man. Amen. Sitting up there in the window, hogging all the space up there, doing what he wanted to do. Sometimes people like Eutychus, conscious of and they're concerned only with what they want. And Eutychus is could be a New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament Achan. He wanted, regardless of what God had plainly said, he wanted a wedge of gold. He wanted some Babylonish clothing. Babylonish clothing. That's what people want today. They want let's face it, they want Babylonish clothing. It specifies. He liked that. That's stylish. That's trendy. You know, people need to look nice. They need to look as sharp as they can. But you don't need to adopt the trends of this world system that hates Christ. Hates Christ, hates holiness. will do everything it can to drag a Christian down in hopes of dragging others down with them. But here's Eutychus, and people like him can be like Achan and constitute the sin in the camp that prevents other people from catching the breeze of the Holy Ghost of God.
Yes.
Amen. Now, selfishness and service didn't enter into his decision. And I'll tell you something else that didn't enter into it, a thought for his own safety. If I'm reading this right, he was three stories up. He was in an upper room, just like they were in an upper room in Acts chapter 2. And he doesn't have enough, perhaps, he didn't have enough sense then to get three stories up and perch himself in a windowsill. He had no concern. He had no thought for his own safety.
Right.
Now, everything I just said about worldliness and all of that can be applied to your safety and my safety.
Right. Exactly.
The safe place is to find out what God wants us to do
right. In
every area of life.
Right.
You say, is that possible? It sure is possible.
Sure is.
It sure is possible. And guess what? It's not going to make you a sadder person, more miserable. You're not going to lose out.
No.
The more you pattern your steps after Jesus and make the Word of God your guideline for your life, listen, the happier you will be.
Amen. Amen.
John said this. He said, His commandments are not grievous.
That's right.
Amen.
Yep.
Now, being a Christian, staying with the stuff cost John a lot all of his Christian life. But he said, as an old man, as I look back on it and at it today, his commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
The only time I've ever really been grieved is when I've gone against his commandments.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
But he wasn't thinking about his own safety. You get out of church and get in a place where you ought not to be, you haven't given any thought to your safety.
Right.
Or to your children, your wife, or others. He was careless in his attentiveness to the worship and the preaching of the Word of God. He was careless about it. Luke 8 and 18, Jesus said, take heed how you hear.
Amen.
Now I'm just as serious as I can be when I say this, beloved. When you and I go to church, on the way, we ought to be getting our minds and our hearts as prepared as we can.
Right.
For getting something from the Word of God.
Yes.
Be thinking about it. In Revelation chapters 2 and chapter 3, the Lord wrote to those churches and said to every one of them, take heed how you hear.
Yep.
See, it's important what we hear. That's for sure important.
Yep.
But it's also important how we hear.
Because
what we hear can be perfectly every dot, jot, and tittle, right down the line, sound, truth. But if we're not taking heed to how we hear,
right.
You know, if we're playing with somebody else's baby,
yep. You
know, if we're doodling around on the fly page of our Bible,
yep. If
we're thinking about what we're going to have for supper, and I wonder if I remember to turn the roast off.
Yeah.
And believe me, I want women to remember to turn the roast off. But if we're thinking about things like that during that 30 or 45 minutes or whatever it is,
yep. We're
getting the Word of God. We're going against the Word of God.
Yes.
And it's not good for us to do that.
Amen.
Now, he may have, because I don't know this, but it just suggests because there's so many like him to get in a place like he was. He may have become contemptuous of or cold toward the preaching of the Word of God. He could have, even 2,000 years ago. There are probably some people that got that way.
Yes,
I was reading in the book of Galatians the other day. The Galatian Christians got started. Man, they were a bunch of mountain folk, so to speak. Really rough, tough kind of people. They got born again. Man, they were on fire. But not many years later, Paul had to write to that church and address some of them and say, who did hinder you?
Right.
You started so well. You ran so well. Who did hinder you? Who was sitting up there in the window, spiritually speaking?
Yep.
Was it you? So Here he is, and he may have gotten contemptuous and cold. People can do that sitting in our churches. And keep that hidden from everybody. Amen. And not even want to admit it to themselves. I was going to tell you a story, but I know this is online. And one of the most disgusting things I ever heard in my life. I'll tell you in private. I don't want to just shove it. I did want to, and I would, but somebody's attitude toward the house of God and the thing that they put first and foremost before the house of God. Well, I don't want to get carried away on that. But here's a position that Eutychus assumed. No regard for anybody else's. No thought about service. How can I help these people to get the most out of this now that Paul's here? Oh, no, he didn't care anything about that. He just saw a place that he thought it'd be interesting to sit there. That's all that mattered to him. So he got up there in that window. Now, here's the problem with Eutychus. It's associated with him in this verse. Look at verse 9. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. What a problem. I'd say this is a problem he was associated with. Fell three stories, dead as a mackerel. Now, what's the reason for this problem? Well, the reason for this problem now, there's his body laying down there on the pavement. You say, what's the reason for this? What's behind this? Well, the reason is what was behind it was a position that he took was a perilous position.
Oh, yeah.
You know why it was perilous? Because he's sitting in the window, which means that he wasn't all the way in, though he wasn't all the way out.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of people like that in churches, in our churches. They're not all the way in. They're not all the way out. And after a while, you know, when you get in a place like that, you're sitting in a window, and you're not all the way in or all the way out. Well, eventually, you're going to start to lean one way or the other. And it's just like weeds appearing in your garden. You don't have to plant weeds. You don't have to plant. It seems like things, if they can go the wrong way, they'll always go the wrong way. And he sat there in that window and started leaning the wrong way. Now, we talked about people today can be in the right place, but be leaning the wrong way. And starts up here. Starts in between our ears. And this is where Eutychus is. Here's the question then. Which way are you leaning? Where are you leaning right now? You say, well, I'm in a position that I didn't used to be in. And I never thought I'd be leaning the way I don't know how it happened, but it has happened.
Right.
Which way are you leaning?
Amen.
Are you leaning further in to the things of God?
Amen.
Or further out than you ever have?
Amen.
When did you start leaning? Out instead of leaning in.
Mm-hmm.
When did that start? Did that start with those new friends you made at work? When did that start? Did that start when you'd finally watched enough television to muddle your mind? When did that start? Did that start when you got the idea in your head that I'm making so much money now I can't afford to tithe like I did? When did that start? Did that start when you could find an excuse a lot easier than you ever had before to miss a meeting when the church was having a bunch of special meetings?
Right.
When did you really start leaning the wrong way? When did it start? Did it start when you got angry and bitter about somebody or something? And here's the second question then. Now that we've posed that one, When are you going to start leaning the right way?
Amen.
I have a suggestion. How about tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
You, me, anybody else in the service, before the services go an inch further on, if you're started to lean the wrong way, you say, I haven't leaned very far. Well, if you're conscious that you're leaning the wrong way,
yeah,
in any direction, you need to say, hey, Lord, not hey, Lord, but you need to go to God and say, Lord, forgive me of that and help me. I want to straighten up.
Amen.
And lean the right way.
Amen.
You start leaning the wrong way when you start slipping into a spiritual sleep.
Yes, sir.
That's our problem today.
Oh, you're right.
All across Christianity.
Yep. Right.
People are like, they have become so distracted, so dull-spirited spiritually, just stuffed with the things. Well, you know how you feel when you've just eaten way too much and you're just lethargic and, you know, you can't keep your eyes open and all of that? You know what so many people are stuffed on today in our churches? The world.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The cares of this world,
yep,
do what? They choke the word.
Yep.
And it becomes unfruitful.
Yep.
So the reason for his problem is right here. He started leaning the wrong way. And his problem was a developing problem. When you start leaning even further. And one thing I'm not going to do, which I've done so many times throughout my life, is get up here on the edge of this, because I'd probably fall face first into the floor. And I don't want to do that. Because I know if I start leaning so far, boom, I'm going to be over the edge. And guess what? That's what's going to happen. That's what happens to a lot of people.
Right.
You lean a little bit, and before long, you've lost your equilibrium. The devil will cause you to lose your spiritual equilibrium.
Yes.
Amen. And you'll be falling all over the place.
Yep.
So, Eutychus' problem was he was too inclined toward, too interested in getting his sleep,
right, than
he was with what he might have been able to get out of Paul's ministry of the Word of God. Isn't that sad? And as he lapsed more and more into a state of sleep, he started leaning in the wrong direction. Paul said it's high time to awake out of sleep.
Amen.
Now, a lot of preachers need to hear that because they are in the right place in a good Baptist church,
right, but
they're leaning the wrong way, for example, where their Bible is concerned.
Right.
They're toying around with other versions. They are, Brother Bryant. Their son is, you know, they're messing around. They're just leaning that way.
Right.
And they're leaning toward brethren, making them their mentors or their associates, that they shouldn't start leaning that way. There's too many good brethren, good solid brethren. You say, well, I don't want to be rude to anybody. You don't have to be. Here's what you got to get really good at. Really, really good at this. Get real good at politely ignoring people. Amen. That goes for anybody of any age. Get real good at graciously, politely, just ignoring them. I'm not saying turn away from them. Just let it go over your head.
Right.
Then go pray for them as soon as you can.
Right.
Yeah, we've got people who are leaning towards new carts, Brother Bryant.
Yep. Yep.
They're leaning toward new carts in terms of how people ought to worship.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Remember that story? Brother Bryant preached on that for a good while one time here. The new carts. All these new carts they're dragging into churches today. Leaning toward new carts of worship, leaning toward new paths to walk on. Woke Christianity. It's bad enough to have this wokeness out in the world, but it's come into the church now. And people think it's fashionable for people to just be real wokey in the church. And new paths to walk on. The best thing any Christian can do in this day that we live in is to stand in the paths and ask for the old paths and walk therein, because here's God's promise, you will find rest for your soul in the old paths. But all you'll find in these new paths of so-called pseudo-Christianity, false Christianity, all you'll find is agitation, aggravation, regret, and shamefulness. Amen. Too many preachers are leaning that way. And they don't need to be excused for it. They need to be called to account for it.
Amen.
Yeah, his problem was a developing problem. He just kept leaning and leaning and leaning until it became a disastrous problem. He fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. But there was a remedy. Now, here's the thing. Even with these preachers, somebody called me when I was driving in today from Michigan. And they were talking about this thing. So many preachers they've grown up with, they've known them, and they're leaning the wrong way. He said, I just got a call from one, and he wants me to come and meet with him. He said, I'm so tired of this. He said, it's depressing, and I just don't want to have anything to do with them. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is to have a good influence with them, not to argue with them, but by and by, to pray for them. Still be a friend to them. Amen. And you see that here in verse 10. Notice the response. When he fell out of that window, Paul didn't say, look up there, folks. He's gone. He fell out. He was sleeping while I was preaching. And he fell out of the window and splattered himself all over. And that's what happens. God punished him. That's what some would say. Paul didn't do that. The Bible says in verse 10, Paul went down. He didn't say he went up. He went down and fell on him. Amen. And embracing him. Amen. That's the teaching of Scripture, isn't it? Galatians 6. If a brother being overtaken in a fault, he's just... I said to this preacher today, I said, Brother Donnie, here's what you want to remember. Everybody, just about everybody, has a stupidity spasm now and then in their life. Hey, man, I call them stupidity spasms. You ever had one?
Yeah.
I have. Here's the good news. You get over them. I said, Brother Donnie, everybody has a stupidity spasm. Some people's last longer than they ought to think. They last so long, you begin to wonder. We got a serious problem here. But Paul went down and he embraced him. And there was a rescue and revival was experienced. Because verse 10 says, and embracing him, he said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. How wonderful.
Amen.
And verse 12 says, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted.
Amen.
God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think.
Amen.
They're having such a good church service here. Here sits silly Eutychus, who brought all this on himself, and he fell down out of the window. And people respond to that like they ought to have responded to it, and they got a whole big blessing out of it.
Amen.
Amen. So, question, have you gotten slothful? Are you starting to leaning the wrong way? When are you going to start leaning the right way? Anybody honest enough, don't raise a hand. Anybody honest enough to yourself to say, I'm leaning the wrong way?
Amen.
My heart, my mind, some of my habits, I'm leaning the wrong way. Well, are you obstructing the breeze in your church? Come, O wind.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Get out of the window of your rebellion, your sloth. If you see somebody leaning the wrong way, what are you going to do? Just condemn them?
Right.
Or are you going to try to embrace them? Because they can recover.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen?
I've seen hundreds of them recover.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you and thank you.
Amen.